Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and we want to read at verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. He said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this precious book that reveals to us not just what we are, but who you are. And we thank you for our Savior this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ, for what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. We thank you that he was willing to go there and be made sin for us, to take upon himself all that we are, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We pray this morning as we look into your word that you would help us to see ourselves and see our need for him. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, continuing with our studies here in Luke chapter 8, and we're moving on to the next storm that the Lord Jesus and his disciples encountered. In verses 22 through 56 in this chapter, we find four storms. We find a storm of wind on the sea. We find a storm in the mind of this man there in the country of the Gadarenes. We find a storm in the body of a woman, and then we find a storm of death in the daughter of Jairus. So in this chapter, there's a number of ways to summarize it. We have a storm in nature. We have a storm in the mind. We have a storm in the body. And we have a storm in the soul, as death is the departing of the soul from the body, as we learn in Genesis 35 and verse 18. But in our text today, we have read about a woman with a storm in her body. The Bible doesn't tell us a great deal about her, but we do learn four things about her in verse 43. She had an issue of blood. She had it for 12 years. She had spent all her living upon physicians, and none of them could help her. So we want to look at this woman this morning for a few moments. And the first thing that we want to think about is this issue of blood. We aren't told what the issue of blood was that she had. There's a place where we can go and get an idea about it and the effects of it, the implications of it. There are two issues of blood dealt with regarding women in the Bible. Turn back, if you will, to the book of Leviticus for just a minute. Leviticus chapter 15. Leviticus chapter 15, and let's read at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean. This is a chapter that deals with running issues out of the flesh. It's a chapter about that which flows, that which is discharged from the flesh and the uncleanness that it produces. Not only in the man or woman, but in everything and everybody that they come in contact with. And then what you'll find here is the personal hygiene that's required to deal with the uncleanness. This is a very practical chapter. And it demonstrates, as many passages do in the Bible, the scientific accuracy of this book. And how many thousands of years this book is ahead of medical science. Look at verse 13. The Lord says, And when he that hath an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. If you have a Defender Study Bibles, I know many of you do, you'll find Dr. Morris's note on this verse. And he points out that this is another example of a health measure that wasn't practiced by doctors until modern times, until we came along with the discovery of bacterial infections. And just to give you an idea of just how long this was from this verse, the chronology in my Bible says it's 1490 B.C. It wasn't until the years around 1850 to 1870 that men like Louis Pasteur and Joseph Lister and other men began to get an understanding of bacteriology and immunology. And they began to get an understanding of the need for running water. Dr. Morris points out that not only is water necessary for cleansing, but the water had to be applied not in a stationary basin, but it must be flowing to carry away the bacteria and the disease. So this chapter is very practical from a physical standpoint, from a medical standpoint, from a hygiene standpoint. But it's also, and even more important, is the spiritual application of these things. And that's what we came to see. You see, the great danger of a chapter like Luke chapter 8, the great danger of a chapter like Leviticus chapter 15, and I'm going to remind you of this, probably ad nauseum, because it's so easy for us to read these kinds of passages, to read about the Gadarene demoniac in Luke chapter 8, to read about the woman with the issue of blood in Luke chapter 8, to read about the things that we're going to look at here in Leviticus chapter 15, and think to ourselves, what in the world is this doing in the Bible? What possible connection? What possible relationship does it have to you and me this morning? The answer to that question is critically important. In fact, it is eternally important. These things are here to show us ourselves. These things are here to show us our condition before God. The Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean. The message here The spiritual message is that you and I have a running issue out of our flesh and we're unclean. Now, I want you to keep your place here because we're going to be coming back. We're going to go a few other places in the Bible, but we're going to be coming back to Leviticus chapter 15. That's kind of going to be our second home this morning, next to Luke chapter 8. But I'd like for you to turn over to Mark's gospel, if you will, to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Here in this chapter, the Pharisees are critical of the Lord's disciples because they ate with unwashed hands. And the Pharisees, that was very upsetting to them because they had the attitude of heart that they didn't want anything from without to enter into them and defile them. And so the Lord says in verse 14 of Mark chapter 7, "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand." The Lord's saying that to us this morning. "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man." The Lord Jesus is talking about the running issue out of our flesh. The running issue out of our flesh that defiles us and makes us unclean. And beginning in verse 21, he details our running issue. "For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness," that's unbridled lust, "excess, shamelessness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." We read this scripture. We quote this scripture. We mention this scripture a great deal in this church. And every time that we're asked to turn to it and we know what's going to be read, if the thought in our minds is, "Oh, brother, not again," it's an indicator of how bad we need to hear it again. We read this scripture a great deal here, not only in this church, but in this school. One of the questions on the U.S. history exam last week was this: "Name two Bible verses that teach us about the sinfulness of man." Now, maybe someone would say, pardon me, but what does that have to do with American history? It has everything to do with American history. The founders of this nation understood something that people don't understand today. They understood the sinfulness of man. They understood that man is not basically good. He's evil. And because of that, man can't be trusted with power. That's why we have three branches of government. That's why we have these different branches with checks and balances to prevent power from falling into the hands of any one man or any group of men. It's why we don't have term limits in the strictest sense, but it's why we have elections. Every 2 years for the House of Representatives, every 6 years for the Senate, every 4 years for the presidency. The idea of the founders, although it probably could have been carried out better, but one of the ideas was they didn't want people becoming career politicians. They didn't want people getting too comfortable, and they trusted us to put these people out when they needed to be put out. But that's something for another message. The first answer to the question on that exam was Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The second answer is right here. Mark 7:21 and 22. Because right here the Lord, who knows our hearts and searches our hearts, exposes the deceit and the desperate wickedness of our hearts. And we need to be reminded over and over in this church, and our young people need to be taught in this school what we are by nature. Because the more we hear about what we are, the more we enter into what we are, then the more we'll see our need for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more that we can, if we know Him, the more that we can appreciate what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. These verses here, Mark 7:21 and 22, are not just for lost people. They're for saved people. And the Lord Jesus says here in verse 21, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed." And I want you to notice the word proceed. If you look that word up, it's word number 1607, the Greek dictionary of your Strong's Concordance. And what you'll find is that it has a number of meanings. One of them is particularly interesting. One of the meanings of this word is to issue, to flow forth. And that's worth noting, because I believe this word, proceed, here in Mark chapter 7, ties this passage and the verses in Luke chapter 8 back to what we are looking at in Leviticus chapter 15. A chapter about that which issues out of the flesh and makes us unclean. All of these scriptures apply to us. Now listen, as the one who looks on the heart, as the one who knows our heart and discerns the thoughts and intents of our heart, describes in detail the issue, the running issue out of our flesh. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Beside those words, you can write the words of Leviticus 15:2. When any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus says here in verse 23, isn't it? All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now let's go back to Leviticus chapter 15. We're reading here about ourselves. Not only things that we need to know physically, but infinitely more important. We're reading about ourselves spiritually. It's very important that we get that fixed in our minds. Now in this chapter, verses 1 through 18 deal with men. Beginning in verse 19, God addresses women. Verse 19, if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. Verses 19 through 24 here deal with the ceremonial uncleanness that women have from their issue of blood that is regular and healthful and according to the course of nature. And something that we don't want to miss as we read through this chapter is how tasteful the Lord is in dealing with delicate and personal and private and private health and hygiene issues. And it wouldn't hurt God's people in this hour to be more like Him in this area. We're living in a day when there is no decency. We're living in a day when there is no decorum, when there is no modesty when it comes to these matters. Everything is coarse and crude and vulgar, and so much is put in a sexual context. And the sad thing here is that that's just not true in the world. It's true among the people of God. If we're saved this morning, we need to be like the Lord Jesus. We need to be tasteful. We need to be decent. We need to be modest in our conversation. Let's have some shamefacedness and sobriety and modesty in our words. That's another thing that we glean from coming to a chapter like this. It puts us in remembrance of things that we need to hear from time to time. Now I want us to look at verse 25. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Beginning in verse 25, we're reading about an issue of blood that is out of the ordinary. We're reading about an issue of blood that is not according to the course of nature, an issue of blood that is a disease of the body. Right here, we're reading about the condition of this woman in Luke chapter 8, who had an issue of blood 12 years. It was an extended time. And what we see in verse 25 is that she was unclean. And everything that she touched was unclean. Look at verse 26. Every bed whereon she lieth all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. A woman in this condition was unclean. And this is the condition of the woman that we read about in Luke chapter 8. Her condition is described here in verse 25. She was unclean. And again, because I told you, I was going to tell you again and tell myself again, the great danger of a passage like this and a passage like Luke chapter 8 is that we'll miss the personal message in these scriptures. The great danger is that when we read here in Leviticus about a running issue out of the flesh, or when we read about this woman with an issue of blood in Luke chapter 8, we'll think to ourselves, that doesn't apply to me. I don't have any kind of condition like that. But we do. But we do. We've already seen it in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. But I want us to see it in another place. Again, keep your place here in Leviticus 15. I want you to turn over to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm showing my age. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 16, not the other way around. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. God says that Israel defiled their land. And he tells us how they defiled it. They defiled it by doing their own way. And notice what God compares Israel doing their own way to. This is why we came here. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. What's a removed woman? Well, we've been reading about a removed woman in Leviticus chapter 15. The words of a removed woman here in verse 17 are one Hebrew word. It's word 5079. Leviticus 15:25. This verse that describes this woman in Luke chapter 8 says, "And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation," that's word 5079, "or if it run beyond the time of her separation," same word, "all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation," same word 5079. And God says of this removed woman in Leviticus 15:25, "She shall be unclean." So let's think about what the Lord is telling us when we put these two scriptures together. God is comparing Israel doing their own way to the uncleanness of a removed woman. Now here's why that's so important. What is the hallmark of our existence? What is the very essence of our nature? What is it that you and I live for? We live for exactly what Israel lived for here. We live for our own way. We live for our own doings. And God compares that kind of rebellion, God compares that kind of uncleanness to the uncleanness of a removed woman, a woman with an abnormal issue of blood. And so what is true of Israel here? What is true of what we were reading about in Leviticus 15? What is true of the woman in Luke chapter 8 with her issue of blood is true of us today by nature. We are before God as the uncleanness of this woman in Leviticus and in Luke. We have an issue of blood. And this is such a wonderful book, the Word of God. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us, all of them tell us, that this woman had this issue of blood for 12 years. The number 12 in the Bible is an important number. The number 12 and its derivatives have to do with rule, have to do with governing, and doing and having and going our own way is all about our desire to rule and govern our own life. We have an issue of blood. And our association with that issue of blood is 12 years. Because we want to rule and we want to govern our own life. Now let's go back to Leviticus chapter 15 one more time. Because we want to read about the cure for those with an issue of blood. Leviticus chapter 15 and look at verse 28. "But if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days. And after that she shall be clean. And on the 8th day she shall take unto her 2 turtle doves, you look that word up, or 2 young pigeons, and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her before the Lord for the issue of her uncleanness." Now, this woman with an issue of blood was to bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons to the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. I want you to notice verse 30 again. "And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her before the Lord for the issue of her uncleanness." Now with that in mind, let's turn back to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And look at verse 43. "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched or stopped. This woman is doing exactly what the law called for. She's coming to the priest, the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. But she doesn't bring two turtle doves. She doesn't bring two young pigeons. Because it's not possible that those kinds of sacrifices should take away sins. She's coming to the great high priest, the Lamb of God, the one who is going to offer one sacrifice for sins forever. You see, what's in view here is the cross. Notice again those words in verse 44. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Remember what we read in Leviticus 15 concerning the woman who had an issue of blood. She was not only unclean, but she made everything she touched unclean. According to Leviticus 15, when she touched the border of the garment of the Lord Jesus, she gave him her uncleanness. When this woman with an issue of blood touched the border of the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ, what comes into view is the glorious message of the cross. And it's like that because Isaiah 53 and verse 6 tells us that the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's like that because 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. At the cross, God took our issue of blood. God took our uncleanness and he placed it on his only begotten Son. And there on the cross of Calvary, God opened the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John tells us, forthwith came there out blood and water. Forthwith came there out the running water of life that we read about a few minutes ago in Leviticus 15:13. The running water of life where sinners can bathe, where sinners can have their sins washed away and be clean. The running water of life that the hymn writer wrote about. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. When this woman with an issue of blood touched the Lord Jesus, she owned her condition. She owned her sin. She took her place as a sinner. And when she did that, an exchange took place. The Lord Jesus took her plague. The Lord Jesus took her issue of blood. He took her life that was defiled and unclean and that made everything she touched defiled and unclean, just as our life does. And in exchange for her life, the Lord Jesus gave her his life. Notice his words in verse 46. And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. It's another word, virtue. If you look it up, you find that it means power. Romans 1:16 tells us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The virtue that went out of the Lord Jesus Christ to this woman was his life. That's what salvation is. It's receiving by faith the life of the Son of God. This morning, if you're lost, you have an issue of blood. And you've had it 12 years because just as the number 12 symbolizes, you're doing and having and going your own way because you want to rule your own life. And you're going to find exactly what this woman found. You're going to suffer many things of many physicians, and chief among those physicians will be yourself. And you'll try all the self-help treatments you can find. New Year's resolutions, turning over a new leaf, being more positive, being kinder. Maybe even joining the church might be in your plan. You'll suffer many things of many physicians. The chief among those physicians will be yourself. and your own works and your own attempt to save yourself. And you'll spend all of your living, because this world has nothing to offer you. This world will take and take and take all that you'll give. And at the end, you'll lose your soul forever. The good news is that this morning, right where you are, you can own your condition. You can own your sin. You can take your place as a sinner, and you can repent of your sin by faith. You can touch the border of his garment. And the same exchange that took place here will take place in your life. The Lord Jesus will take your plague. He'll take your issue of blood. He'll take your life that's defiled and unclean, and that makes everything you touch defiled and unclean. And in exchange for your life, the Lord Jesus will give you his life. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for the remembrance of the cross this morning. The remembrance of what we are. We're unclean. We have this running issue of sin and wickedness and rebellion that issues forth from our heart. And we thank you for reminding us how the Lord Jesus took our uncleanness upon himself and paid the price for our sins and shed his blood. We thank you for that open side. And what flowed out of there was the blood and the water of life. And we thank you that in this hour, sinners can come and plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains. Father, those who are saved this morning, help us to consider these things. It'll help us to love you more. It'll help us to wonder why you should love us at all. It will help us to understand something of Paul, of what Paul meant when he said, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We pray that you would use these things in our hearts today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.